A wonderful woman, charming, a lady in every good sense of that word, and yet was a very tough, but firm is a better word, firm member of, firm congresswoman. I mean, she chaired a major committee, and she did it with strength and all without being unladylike. And I've seen a couple members, women members of Congress who I would not characterize as ladies very much. I would say they're
Bella
rough edges.
Hapsug or
no, right. I'd rather not go there, but no, because I don't know Bella Hapsug that closely. But Edith was a nice combination of, I mean, she never lost her womanhood. I won't say her feminist side, but her womanhood. She was a lady, and yet she was a tough congresswoman. Mm-hmm. But she was never very much involved in the ONC because Multnomah County gets a little money, but it's not a big deal. I mean, she's on the education and labor committees, and she's thinking about those issues. But one day we decided we ought to involve Edith a little bit because the whole, I think she kind of felt a little left out of it because the whole rest of the delegation is fighting for the ONC, and nobody ever asked Edith to do much of anything. There had been a big windstorm down in the southern part of the state, and it had blown a lot of timber down. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but my recollection is about 150 million board feet. And so we wanted the Bureau to sell this timber over and above the regularly prescribed green allowable cut. Mm-hmm. So the national office asked, because they had to get a little special appropriation to fund the cost of getting this blown down timber out. So they asked the state office to send them a report. Well, the report came to Washington and said it was 150 million board feet of blown down timber. Well, that isn't a number that the national office wanted to take up to the Hill. They wanted to take 50 million. Well, that's going to cost the counties a bunch of money. Plus, the timber's just going to rot in the forest, and that seems sort of silly. So we had Edith call the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Interior, a guy named Harry Anderson, who was not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and some political hack from the Midwest. Somebody had gotten this job. And she calls him and says, this is Congresswoman Green calling Mr. Secretary, and I'd like very much, I understand there's you've got this matter before the Congress, and you've indicated a 50 million board feet, but I understand there's a report from the state office that it's different, and I wondered if I could have a copy of that report. And then we're sitting in her office listening to her side of the conversation. We can't hear his. At that point, she turns crimson, and the cords on her neck stand up. I've never seen her like that. And in very clipped words, what had happened was, she responds, and what had happened was the assistant secretary, this cipher, had said to her, well, Mrs. Green, I'd love to give you a copy of it, but they only sent us one copy. So this is when she's turning purple, and she said, Mr. Secretary, I'm not on the Appropriations Committee, so I don't know the size of the appropriation for your agency, but I'm thinking it's about $4 billion. This is a long time ago. No, it's much bigger. $4 billion. And I'm also betting that somewhere in that $4 billion agency, Mr. Secretary, there's a copy machine. Now, I want a copy of that report, Mr. Secretary, on my desk in 30 minutes. Slam the phone down. And then she went right up through the roof of the House Office Building. She was so mad. She went into orbit. And she never forgave him for thinking, well, this is a woman. She isn't going to be able to, this is men's work. She'll never figure out. She'll say, if you only have one copy, then never mind, forget my request. And within a half an hour, every member of the Oregon congressional delegation had a copy on their desk. They didn't know what it meant, but they all had one. Mm-hmm. And we got funding for to pull out $150 million board feet of down timber. Uh-huh. And
So she really responded to you.
She did very well. She was wonderful. The delegation was very united on the ONC in those days, and has continued to be pretty well united, except that the world has spun 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. There is no plowback fund. We get no. We are now on a safety net program. Yeah. We're on the dole, as they said in your youth, mine. We're on the dole. We got a welfare check from the Treasury, called a safety net, and that's the big issue for the ONC counties today. Is how, because this goes away in 2003, and if we don't have something in its place by then, we then go back to the statutory formulas. The counties are currently getting a fixed amount, and I won't bore you with how the formula, it doesn't matter. They get a fixed amount every year, and it's going down 3% a year. Yeah. Started in 93, ends in 2003, started in 94, ends in 2003, and it's going down 3% a year. So the counties are starting to struggle a little because a little inflation, a little diminution of receipts. Yeah. And if we went back now, and the counties are getting somewhere in the middle 60 millions are being divided up by the counties now. That's where we are on the stair step, downward stair step. If we were on receipts, the counties would get 20 million. Mm-hmm. Now there isn't $45 million of slush left over in these county budgets. Mm-hmm. Not even close. Yes. If you want to hear a horrendous story, of what the impact of the timber policies of the 90s have done to a county, you ought to listen to Democrat Sue Capillus, who ran for Congress a few years ago against that clown in the 2nd District that won, and the guy who never went to Korea, whose name has gone out of my head. But anyway, a very first-rate county commissioner. She has done a tremendous amount of work and had other people do work about the impact of the social impact of these timber policies on one county, and the communities in that county. Mm-hmm. And it is horrific. Yeah. They've essentially closed down their public health program. They have no public health program in Jackson County. Mm-hmm. They have reduced their sheriff's patrols, they have reduced everything. And every year they do a little more. Mm-hmm. And then if they took the drop down to in 2003, or in 2004, when the safety net ends, we don't have something in its place, mm-hmm. there will be counties who will walk up to the governor and hand the keys to him, to the courthouse, mm-hmm. because they can't exist, because of ballot measure 5 and ballot measure 47. They can't raise enough taxes to live. And the counties are just a subdivision of the state. Mm-hmm. So, governor, here are the keys to the courthouse. Yeah. It will happen.
Yeah. In 95, Kitts Harbor, December 95, announced that his support of the idea of the state taking over the ONC lands, and that had been talked about for a long time.
Not seriously, it hadn't.
I had always wondered about that.
Yeah,
and even when he didn't stay very strong on that idea,
he became
for
an
very
opponent.
Long. Yeah, right. You know, what's the meaning of?
How did that all? Right? What happened?
Yeah,
we came up with the idea. In the early, I'm trying to think, late in 76, excuse me, 96, excuse me, 96, late in 96, no, late in 94, late in 94, John's first session, 95, 97, 98, yeah, 21. In just before John started his first, before John Kitts Harbor was sworn in as governor, we had come up with this idea and had adopted it actually the first week of the legislative session as the official policy of the association, that we should endeavor to move the owner, the title to these lands from the BLM. We left the Forest Service lands out of the discussion, just the 2 million acres of the BLM, to the State Board of Forestry. Mm-hmm. Not that this would result in a humongous increase in cut, but we thought with people who had as a part of their focus, some harvesting of some timber, unlike the current federal policy, which is basically hardly any harvest of any timber, and only the minimum amount they have to do to keep the wolves from just tearing them apart, and that it would be helpful, and that would be a good thing. And we thought, our dream was that maybe Mark Hatfield as he went out the door, the end of his career, could just slide that into one of those major budget reconciliation bills at the end of the session. Mm-hmm. And nobody'd notice or care much, or just Oregon, yeah. something for his state. That was our dream.
Yeah. The BLM would never have...
They hated it.
Tolerated that.
They hated it. The administration hated it and all, but we still thought it could happen. Uh-huh. And get in a bill that the president has to sign, mm-hmm. it could happen. But it would take Mark to do it.
Yeah.
And kind of, we had a couple of hearings, and so there was some, we had done the basic groundwork, the proceedings mm-hmm. were in place to Mark to do it. When I first talked to Tom Imeson, who was John Kitzhaber's first chief of staff, about the idea in January of 95, he liked it. Mm-hmm. He thought that made a lot of sense. And he said, but let me talk to John about it, because this is obviously has political overtones, and it's a brand new subject to him. And if you don't mind, Dave, I'd like to be the one to talk to him. I said, boy, not only do I not mind, I applaud that. That's wonderful. So he came back to me in a couple of weeks, and he said, the governor is very intrigued. Mm-hmm. Very intrigued. He thinks this maybe makes a lot of sense. So we started a program both at the federal level, and we also went through and got a resolution out of the legislature with overwhelming Democratic support on both sides of the aisle, and both sides of the Capitol, mm-hmm. a resolution to Congress saying, we think this makes abundant sense. I mean, John's closest friend in the Senate, Bill Bradbury, signed it mm-hmm. As a sponsor. And we had a huge number of sponsors on both bodies and overwhelming votes in both bodies. But it was a resolution, a memorial or something, and so it doesn't involve the governor. I mean, he didn't sign it or not sign it or anything else. Okay. Meanwhile, candidly, I think what happened, I mean, was I there? Do I know exactly what occurred? No. Mm-hmm. But what I truly believe is that the environmental community mm-hmm. got wind of this thing mm-hmm. and went to John and said, we hate this. Mm-hmm. Oh, he said, oh, okay, well then I hate it too.
It was that fast.
Yeah, very. I mean, his turn on this thing was very rapid mm-hmm. and discouraging. And the reason it was so discouraging is not that the governors are a big deal in Congress or anything, but they're a deal, some deal. Mm-hmm. And Mark Hatfield, having been an 8-year governor, will not roll a governor of any state on something that is unique to that state. And he especially would not roll his own governor, even though he and John weren't close, and they were of opposite political parties and everything else. Mm-hmm. But Mark just will not roll a governor.
Yeah, roll means...
Roll him over and say, thanks for your input, who cares? I'm going to do what I want to do. And so when John Kitzhaber turned against the proposal, uh-huh. our dream of having Mark do a stealth uh-huh. little thing went bye-bye. Yeah. We knew we couldn't just pass it as legislation. Standalone legislation, because the administration would veto it, yeah. even if we could get the votes in the Congress. Mm-hmm. So it had to be in a package that was unvetable.
Yeah. So Kitzhaber is the key.
In this particular case, he was the key, yeah. sadly. And I don't know how would it have made sense. Would it have been a good deal or no? Who knows? Reasonable people can argue and differ. Mm-hmm. But I think that as long as you have good environmental protection and good parameters, which certainly my Augusta, Oregon Forest Practices Act is a model. Some people say it's not a big enough model, it should be more, mm-hmm. but nobody can say it's nothing. The Forest Practices Act and this Department of Forestry have shown that they will try as best they can to protect the lands for all the values that we all want, mm-hmm. and cut a few trees too. Mm-hmm. That is not the end of the world. Yeah. That they do grow back. And in some respects, maybe you can make the forest healthier and better. Mm-hmm. But that is not the policy of this administration in Washington, D.C., nor the agencies that are below them. Yeah. And so we had this dream, and the dream went bye-bye when Mark went away. Yeah. When Mark left the Senate, the dream ended. We've never even talked about it since.
Yeah.
Except as a interesting little historical note. Mm-hmm. Now we're focused on the safety net and getting that put in place.
Uh-huh. The safety net has been going for several years.
Since 94.
And it's declining by 3% per year.
Right.
So the idea is to get it extended on a permanent basis beyond 2004.
Right, 2003, yeah, is when it ends. And
what are the prospects?
I think they're good. I just think that when it's all said and done, that we're not just going to be decimated, because it decimated we would be.
Yeah.
And there's a major national coalition that has been formed to work on the issue of not only the current safety net only applies to the spotted owl states.
Mm-hmm.
Western Washington, Western Oregon, and the spotted owl region, actually not states. Western Washington, Western Oregon, Northern California, portion of Northern California. Those counties get the safety net. Nobody else does.
Uh-huh.
And this now an effort is being put in place to assist all of the national forest counties throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really gotten quite ahead of steam. The National Education Association is involved, the National Manufacturers Association, all kinds of groups are working, labor,
mm-hmm.
everything. I mean, the public employee unions, Jim, are scared to death. And they're very powerful with the administration, mm-hmm. not powerful as the environmentalists yet,
mm-hmm.
but they're very close to Gore.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you take 25 or 30 or $40 million away from those counties, and some of them you take a big, millions, Douglas County, which gets 25% of the ONC money.
Uh-huh.
If you take $7, $8 million away from them, they don't have that in reserves.
Yeah.
They can't make it up out of some other deal. They got to lay people off, big time.
Mm-hmm.
So the public employees unions that represent the employees in some of those counties are going, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So they're making common work.
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer is, I cannot believe that we will go down the tank. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the congressional people that are there will be in deep trouble politically.
Mm-hmm.
Because their opponents will say, on Peter DeFazio's watch, these counties, the fact that you don't have any deputy sheriff, any deputy sheriffs on the road, not one, that's Peter DeFazio's fault.
Uh-huh.
And DeFazio says, well, let me explain, it's the worst thing in politics, a 10-second charge that takes 5 minutes to explain.
Uh-huh. That's right.
So, it'll happen. It'll happen, and in some form or another. It's already passed the House. There is a chance. I haven't seen the president's budget yet, which just came out yesterday.
The legislation is actually...
Legislation has passed the House with almost a 2-to-1 margin.
Uh-huh.
It is now in the Senate, where Senators Wyden and Larry Craig of Idaho have worked out a deal, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
They're now trying to get the administration to buy into the deal. And if that happens, it's over like that.
Uh-huh.
If the administration won't buy in, then it's a little trickier.
Mm-hmm.
But the other issue is the finding the money to pay for it, because then in the new world of the budget, you don't just pass this stuff and let somebody else worry about it. You have to come, if you bring an idea into Congress, if you as a congressman or a senator bring an idea in, and it has a fiscal impact of $300 million a year, you got to go figure out where the money comes from. You got to go get it out of some other program.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets tricky.
Yeah. The BLM in all of these years and through all of these situations, what has been their community interest? I mean, they have their professional interest of managing the lands and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But how real or how strong or what part in their action has been played by their, say, interest in the well-being of the communities and the fact that what they're doing is supporting these communities to such an extent?
It's waned over time simply because many of the folks that are district managers and area managers, which is the next subdivision under a district, really don't know much about the ONC or about the history of it or what it's going. They're more people that have kind of that bought into the philosophy of this administration. And it doesn't make them evil. Makes them wrong, maybe. Doesn't make them evil. But you know how they interact with the, how the current Roseburg city district, excuse me, Roseburg district manager interacts with the Roseburg area. I really don't know. I have a good feel of that. But I know we just lost the guy from Salem, who's an old hand, you know, kind of the last of the O&C district managers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it used to be everybody came up through the timber side of the agencies. Mm-hmm. The current chief of the Forest Service is a fish biologist. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't make, again, doesn't make him an evil person. Mm-hmm. Just makes him not part of, he doesn't think timber, he thinks fish. Kind of a nice guy. He was the former director of the Bureau of Land Management before the administration plunked him from that and put him over in Ag to run the Forest Service. Yeah. You know, those are nice people, and they're good people, and they're well-meaning people. They just, you know, they have different orientations than the notion that we ought to try and also utilize these forests for timber production. Mm-hmm. It's not uppermost in their mind.
Yeah. Frank Ward Thomas was...
Jack Ward Thomas.
Jack Ward Thomas was kind of in the middle, wasn't he, on that sort of thing?
He was the first non-forestry chief that I can remember. Uh-huh. Most of the chiefs came out of the forestry uh-huh. side of the National Forest.
I've read a talk by him in which he really expressed his frustration with environmental groups running with really unproven scientific stuff.
And they don't care. Uh-huh. The tragic part, Jim, is that I truly believe they don't care. They believe that they are on a religious mission. Mm-hmm. And if you believe you're on a religious mission, then the ends become everything, mm-hmm. and the method of getting to the ends become very unimportant. Mm-hmm. They obstruct. They are disingenuous in many cases. Good science, which they pretend to bow down to, mm-hmm. means nothing to them. Mm-hmm. I am not fans of their style. I like some of them personally, mm-hmm. but I abhor the way they approach. But they have no interest in sitting at the table. Mm-hmm. And why would they? They're winning everything in the courts. Mm-hmm. So, why would you go to the table, which implies that you will give something up to get something? Mm-hmm. So there's no negotiating. Yeah. Jeff Pampush, who is Oregon Trout, was a good guy, mm-hmm. and the environmentalist that I think the governor listens most to, tried to convince, he was convinced that the land transfer notion made some sense. And he called together a meeting of all the environmental people, and they practically stoned him to death. They swore at him, called him whatever the environmental equivalent of Uncle Tom is. You know, he was a traitor. And why would he even talk to the counties or even entertain this notion? And they just said no and hell no in no uncertain terms. And he got very beat up for trying to do what he felt was the right thing. They don't want to hear anything about the right things. They had total control of the federal bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. You ought to hear, I remember talking to Les Acoin, who was a strong supporter of Bill Clinton and Al Gore. And he was lobbying, early in the administration, he was lobbying in Washington, D.C. And it was almost tears to his eyes. He said Clinton's given Gore total control of natural resources. Mm-hmm. Clinton didn't know anything about it, didn't care to know anything about it. Gore's people run it.
So the Clinton plan is Gore and his
It's all Gore's people.
Influence.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
I mean, the person who heads EPA is an old Gore operative. The person who heads the Environmental Policy Council at the White House, that's not the right word, Environmental something Council, mm-hmm. the top environmental person in the administration, has always been a Gore person. Mm-hmm. First it was Katie McGinty. She left to go to India with her husband. They brought in another guy in who used to be with the Wilderness Society or something. I mean, these are all Gore people. Gore makes these picks. Yeah. Clinton doesn't make them. He didn't make two of them. Okay. And when people tell me, Al Gore is, great guy and all, I have difficulty. Uh-huh. And they know that. Yeah. One of the funny things years ago, when, oh my goodness, a senior moment, the woman who was the first district congressman before Wu, Help me.
I'm thinking there's Darlene.
No, Darlene Louise the Fifth. For heaven's sake. I just saw her the other night. That's terrible. I apologize. We'll have to get her name into the transcript.
All right. Well,
anyway, I got to get that in. Yeah. Anyway. Jeez. Maybe we've done 2.5 hours, maybe our limit here.
That's
Jim.
Gonna be our limit.
Certainly my limit. Anyway.
Go ahead.
Phyllis Oster, who was working for her, who I'd known for years, through all kinds of political deals and everything, she calls up. She says, David, great news. Al Gore's coming out for whatever her name is, and doing a luncheon and blah, 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 and we're going to sell tickets. It's going to be great. 8 minutes later, I stop and draw a breath. And Phyllis starts laughing. She says, we're venting, aren't we? That's right after the plant, forest plan. And I said, yeah, and I'm sorry to take it out on you. That's a terrible thing. I shouldn't take it out on you, Phyllis. She said, I don't mind. You know, we've been together, all through the wars together. She and I both worked on the O'Coin campaigns together for years and all. And she said, I've got you marked down as zero tickets. I said, that would be the correct number. Not across the street.
Yeah.
Not across the street.
Well, right.